It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A new week begins live right here on a Monday on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Joe Lisi, the mastermind of the pigskin, and I am Ben Stevens. And Joe, this is why people tune into FFC in the Sports Grid Radio Network. For Mondays like today, after a monumental football weekend, week 6 of the NFL Sunday slate, week 7 and a great one in college football ahead of a huge Monday night football game on this Monday to end out week 6 inside MetLife Stadium between the Jets and the Bills. This is a football weekend that we recap for you on FFC and set the stage for a huge Monday night showdown to end out week 6.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, the games on Saturday night in college went right down to the wire. They lived up to the billing, Ben, in regards to that, and it really carried through to yesterday's action. We saw Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson square off, another great game. We saw Cleveland get off the mat, push Philly to the limit, and then the beatdowns in the 4 o'clock window. Detroit looking like the potentially one of the best teams in the NFC, and then Joe Burrow and Cincinnati. But tonight's game, win, lose, draw, no matter what happens for the New York Jets, there's going to be a ton of talking points surrounding Aaron Rodgers and the Jets moving forward for the rest of the 2024 season.
No doubt, Joe. The stakes of tonight's game, monumental. And with all of the drama that has followed the New York Jets, either on or off the field, everything is magnified on this Monday night in East Rutherford, New Jersey, between the Jets and the Bills. We'll get to Monday night in just a moment, but let's start by diving through the Sunday slate in week number 6. And Lisi guy, let's start with that game during the afternoon hours in Dallas. Detroit goes into the Star and dismantles the Cowboys. 47-9, the victory for the Lions. Detroit easily covers as a 3-point road favorite. Highest total of the weekend at 52.5. Does go over, but only because of Detroit. Jared Goff, 315 yards, 3 touchdowns. Both David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs have a huge day. Meanwhile, for Dallas, a buck 78, 2 picks out of Dak Prescott in the Cowboys, Joe, who entered this season on a 16-game home regular season win streak, have now dropped all 3 games at AT&T Stadium this year. They're winless, 0-3, both straight up and against the spread. Detroit destroys Dallas on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and I think it was Jerry Jones' 82nd birthday yesterday, so that wasn't too happy either, right? Here's the thing, Ben, and we talked about it throughout the regular, the week leading up to this matchup. is that Jared Goff and Detroit, they had the opportunity to knock off Dallas last year. They lose it 21-20. We know about the coaching blunder, you can argue, and the questionable call with Detroit with Dan Campbell. And if they got up in this game, I said it, that they would look to make a statement and showcase that last year they should have won it, right? They have the hotter quarterback, Jared Goff, 315 yards yesterday. Entering that game, he completed 18 of 18 for 250-plus against Seattle. And the biggest question, forget the turnovers and the deck. We can always get into that, right? But this defense for Dallas, forget Micah Parsons, that secondary got torched by Daniel Jones, where they grinded out a 20-15 win. That they have many holes that, you know, Mike Zimmer has failed to answer on the defensive side of the ball. And you can say Dak can't win a big game, and rightfully so. But this team misses Dan Quinn because that Washington defense is getting better week after week.
And Joe, what's so fascinating about Dallas this year? They haven't even been close at home. They gave up 44 to the Saints. They trailed 28-3 to Baltimore early in the second half before they made the game look respectable when we know it really was not. They are 0-3 against the spread. And you might be thinking, well, they've lost three games. They were probably the favorites in all three. No, they've been the home underdog in two of those three games and still can't even cover a number. But Joe, of course, with the Detroit dominance, there was some bad news for the Lions yesterday. A broken tibia is the medical diagnosis for Aiden Hutchinson, one of the star edge rushers in the National Football League. A gruesome and significant lower leg injury. His season is done in 2024. He had to undergo emergency surgery yesterday before even flying back to the Motor City. We had the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, on the early line earlier, Joe. He said he should be fully recovered. This is not an injury that is going to plague the rest of his career, but that's not going to happen at least until the start of the 2025 NFL season.
Yeah, wishing the best. You never want to see a star player or any player, for that matter, go down. That's the risk of playing at an elite level in terms of the NFL. We joke around about the play for a lot of these players, but you never want to see them in terms of personal injury or risk their career or their health moving forward. So, you know, obviously this is a dent for that front seven because they are pretty good in run support, getting after the passer as well. How do they adjust from a defensive game plan moving forward? We have to see. But and he's an emotional leader, right? He's a young player, third-year player. He won over the locker room. We saw it on Hard Knocks, and just wishing the best. But, you know, that's part of the game, and I do feel that Dan Campbell and that staff will do their best to at least make up for his absence, and we'll see how it plays out. They're playing as good as Baltimore and any team in the NFL right now.
And Joe, you mentioned maybe the best team in the NFC, at least as of this moment, plus 480 as Detroit improves to a 5-1 record. The 49ers, with a big win on Thursday night to start off week six, still that favored team at plus 330. And the 49ers still probably have the best outlook when fully healthy. But so far through 6 weeks, I'm not sure anybody has looked better than the Lions. Well, if you wanted to make an argument about that, how about the NFC North in general? Detroit is 5-1. Minnesota a bye this weekend, but one of two remaining undefeated teams at 5-0. Both the Packers and the Bears winning big on Sunday. Everybody in the NFC North is 4-2 or better. So, Joe, let's talk that division. Green Bay, 5.5-point favorite at home against the Arizona Cardinals. The Packers win big, 34-13. They force three fumbles. They recover all three. 17 takeaways for this Green Bay defense through six games. Multiple turnovers forced in every game this year for the Packers. They have won two straight. They're 4-2. They have covered in all four wins. The Pats certainly on track, Joe, to be an NFC contender again.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, when Jordan Love came back, he was about three quarters of ring rust against Minnesota. And then he puts up 389 and almost led the upset of Minnesota in Lambeau a few weeks ago. They grind out a victory in the second half against L.A. They trailed that game at half 14-7 or 13-7 with the interception. But they have been very good. Forget the offense for a second. Again, this started last year. Everybody said, oh, Green Bay's defense was suspect. When Jordan Love put on that you know, 7 of 10 games where they won. Their defense was forcing turnovers. Their defense forced turnovers last year against Dak and against San Francisco in the divisional round. They almost moved on because the defense was getting better. Now they're opportunistic. I really like this team, Ben. I know they don't have a perfect record, but if we're talking right here, right now, yep, I still think they're the most lethal team in the NFC. We can, you know, split hairs between Detroit and, you know, San Francisco. My team is Green Bay, and the fact that Jordan Love is healthy is a main reason yep why.
Plus 850, the Packers, the fifth best price in the NFC as a whole. The Vikings, third best number at 6-1. Jordan Love, 4 touchdown passes yesterday. Sure, an interception as well. But all 4 touchdown passes. Romeo Doubs back in the action. 2. Christian Watson had 1, as did Jaden Reed. We'll go across the pond to London as the Bears look really good against Jacksonville. What's ahead for Doug Peterson in Duval County as the Jags remain abroad? That remains to be seen in a couple of crucial matchups from the Sunday slate. Next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. One final game to end out week 6 of this NFL season. And then after this monumental Monday night at MetLife, the first third, Joe, of the 2024 NFL campaign has come to a close. So when all 4 teams in the NFC North are at least 2 games above 500 or better, you got to take stock. That includes the Chicago Bears, who have won now 3 straight games. Their first away from Soldier Field yesterday, early across the pond over in London. The Bears absolutely trouncing the Jaguars 35-16. Caleb Williams throws for 4 passing touchdowns, the most by a rookie quarterback in history for this Bears franchise. Chicago has scored 5 offensive touchdowns in back-to-back weeks for the first time since 1956. And the Bears look like a legitimately good team, Joe, with a 4-2 record covering in all 4 wins. Yesterday, slight underdog in London against Jacksonville.
Yeah, I've been very critical of Caleb, and you know what? I'll dial it back slightly. He's playing well. He's starting to progress. You know, I wanted to see them win on the road or on a neutral field, and they did just that against a team that had their backs against the wall, needed to win that game, and were very yeah good in terms of success playing in London, right? Sort of to dominate the game the way they did. To see Caleb not just throw the football, he made some critical runs, extending plays with his legs in terms of tucking it. That's showing that he's understanding the scheme. He's yeah getting more confident in the system, and that's a great thing. And I'll say this too. That rushing attack, Roschon Johnson, an under-the-radar back from Texas, was a great pickup. But DeAndre Swift too. I mean, this is what we saw DeAndre Swift in the early games last year for Philadelphia when they went on that 10-1 record. He's a great addition. He's not that old of a running back. I mean, DeAndre Swift is really living up to the billing as being one of the top running backs yeah when he was selected back 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, Joey signed that 3-year, $24 million deal with the Bears this offseason. First 3 weeks looked absolutely abysmal. He had 114 scrimmage yards, did Swift, in the first 3 games for Chicago. In total, combined, that is the overall output in the first 3 games. He has gone over that number. He has had more than 114 scrimmage yards in each of the last 3 games for Chicago. 91 yards on the ground, a touchdown yesterday, 28 more through the air. He has been a revelation. They are protecting Caleb Williams more. He has 7 touchdowns to only 1 INT in the 4 wins for Chicago this season. So the Bears are 4-2. The Packers are 4-2. The Lions are 5-1. The Vikings are 5-0. By the way, the division odds now once again available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Detroit and Minnesota co-favorites at plus 140, but the Packers and the Bears plus 550 and plus 950 as well. Not out of the running, certainly not yet. Joe, as we focus on another rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels, yesterday in Baltimore, a huge matchup in the DMV, the Ravens and the Commanders, two teams that are now both 4-2. The Flock has won four straight games. That's Baltimore. They snapped the four-game win streak of Washington yesterday. The Ravens do cover as a 6.5-point home favorite in Baltimore. Second highest total of the weekend, 51.5, does sky over as well. And although, Joe, the Commanders lost by a touchdown and trailed by multiple scores in the fourth and final quarter, it was a really good football game. What did we learn about both of these teams yesterday in Baltimore?
Well, for me, let's start with Baltimore. I've been saying it when they ripped off those three straight wins. The fact that that offense now puts up another 30 spot, they are playing as good as anybody. Minnesota, Detroit, you name it. Any team that you want to throw in there, from an offensive perspective, Baltimore looks like a legit contender now with Derrick Henry, who scored yet again, Lamar doing it on the ground and through the air, and that defense being opportunistic enough in certain spots to win matchups, right? Forget the two losses. You could make the argument they should have been 2-0 to start the year. Right now, they are peaking at an elite level. Can they continue that, obviously, is the biggest question. They're legit. Right. In my opinion, I put them right there in the AFC as the best team. I do put that because of who they beat. Washington and how good Washington has been. Buffalo, Cincinnati with their backs against the wall. They're legit to me. On the flip side, for Washington, we saw Jaden Daniels, 269, two touchdowns. He added another 22 on the ground. They were without Brian Robinson. They didn't give up. This team, even though they lost, they're a legitimate contender for a wild card. I don't know about NFC East. I'm not going to tag that in year number one with Jaden Daniels. But Dan Quinn has this team fighting, much different than Ron Rivera. They're not quitting. They're playing it out. The defense is still keeping them in games. I don't know, Ben. I think, forget the 2-1 price that they were for the NFC. This is a legitimate wild card that even if they were 500, I believe enough in them the rest of the way to make a run.
Yeah, I think it's hard to knock that, Joe. I think a lot of people looked at yesterday in a step-up spot, perhaps, for the Commanders. Not that their four wins in a row came over slouches, but just a step-up spot, right? Nearly a touchdown dog on the road, albeit in Baltimore. And I think if you were to look at a 7-point defeat and a non-cover by the hook, you might say, hey, Washington doesn't really have it. Not the sense if you watched that football game. And again, Jaden Daniels, better than a 77% completion percentage this year, leads the NFL, 269 yesterday, two touchdowns. The issue for the Commanders, he was the leading rusher with 22 yards on the ground. Baltimore, best rushing defense in the NFL, but allowing some points this year. Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson, 20 of 26, 323. Yes, a pick, but a touchdown. Zay Flowers looks solid. Rashad Bateman is healthy and playing productive football. Mark Andrews finds pay dirt for the first time this year. But Joe, when you think about the Ravens and you think about the offensive scheme, this four-game win streak has provided it. Yesterday, Derrick Henry, 24 carries, 132 yards, two touchdowns. He has scored multiple touchdowns twice in this four-game span. He has scored in every game. He's got seven total touchdowns. He has rushed for at least 96 yards. That's Ravens football.
It is, and when Derrick Henry rushes for 132, opens up everything else. They're worried about the run. There you go with the play action.
Plenty more to get to from the NFL Week 6 Sunday slate, including primetime football at MetLife. That's next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Lisi guy entering Sunday Night Football. It might have not appeared to be the best primetime game to end out a Sunday slate. On paper, it was the 1-4 Bengals visiting the 2-3 Giants in MetLife. Now both teams are 2-4, and it wasn't exactly the prettiest game we have ever seen. The Bengals win 17-7. Cincy covers as a 3.5-point road favorite in East Rutherford. The Giants, without Malik Nabers or Devin Singletary, unable to muster up a ton of offense. It was tied at 7-all in the third quarter. The Bengals pulled away from there. It was really Joe Burrow with a 47-yard rushing touchdown early in the opening quarter that was the key offensive play for Cincinnati. But Joe, the Bengals needed to win this game to get to 2-4, taking advantage of an AFC that does not look nearly as competitive right now as maybe it did in at least what we anticipated before the season. The Bengals got it done. They win by 10. They win by double digits. They cover as a 3.5-point road favorite against the Giants.
Yeah, I was wrong on this game. I actually thought that the Giants were the side, Ben, because I didn't know what to expect offensively and defensively out of Cincinnati because of how they lost that game against Baltimore. Were they going to be checked out? Were they going to view it as the season being over? Was Ja'Marr Chase going to be like, you know what? Why risk it? I didn't get my money and save the thing with T. Higgins. But they found a way to grind it out. I still have concerns, Ben, about Cincinnati big picture, because I think unless this team is like 5-4 or 6-4, you can't say, okay, they're dialed in. If they could scratch the 500, maybe, but that's a tough ask. But that aside, I thought this was more about the lack of consistency for the New York Giants. This was a perfect opportunity, just like Dallas, 0-2 at home, to get back to 500, build off of Daniel Jones the past couple of weeks, 250-plus. And we saw the same old Giants, right? They trailed 7-0. They couldn't get out of the way. They were never in it or showed any type of continuity in regards to the offensive philosophy. And you know what? I thought it was a poor game plan by Brian Daboll overall. They had an opportunity to kick a dog when it was down. And, you know, not you know seriously, but, you know, just from the freeze aspect, you know, right? Yeah. But they didn't do it. And now they're 0-3 at home. They win on the road. Yeah. They can't win at home. That's terrible by Daboll.
Yeah, and Daniel Jones wasn't great last night. 22 of 41, 205, no touchdowns, and an interception. Multiple passing touchdowns and zero INTs for Daniel Jones in each of the Giants' first two wins this year. That needs to be better. Joe, I look forward to seeing what the Bengals' playoff price is when those numbers are back available. The Bengals at 16-1. Tied for the fifth best price in the AFC, but there's a very large drop-off from KC, Baltimore, and then Houston and Buffalo, both at plus 550 to where the rest of the conference is. The good news for Cincy, after an 0-3 and 1-4 start, there's still only six teams right now in the AFC, and that includes Buffalo at 3-2, entering Monday Night Football, that have a winning record. If the Jets win tonight, we'll only have five teams above 500 in the conference. That's something to be said.
Yeah, no, I was going to say Zach Taylor needs to hammer that home. You know, that needs to be hammered home for this team, because that's the concern for me. Are they going to be checked out, or are they going to actually view the season as not lost and let's play it out and let's get back to a Super Bowl?
Right, and that's the key, Joe. There is the mentality that despite the kiss of death in an 0-3 start, the Bengals actually still have some life. Plenty of new quarterbacks getting a start yesterday, some making their starting debut in the NFL, others back under center. But the theme among all three, big, big losses. Drake May, the third overall pick in 2024, made his first career start for the Patriots yesterday. There were some glimpses, but ultimately, Houston absolutely hammers the Patriots in Foxborough, 41-21. The Texans, Joe, easily cruising to a cover as a 6.5-point road favorite.
Yeah, one of my better picks for the weekend. I really liked Houston, and they had two secondary players out for that game. It didn't matter. You had a rookie quarterback, Drake May, with a lack of offensive weapons. Seeing what Houston did to Josh Allen the week prior, 30% completion percentage, it was an uphill battle. Right? And it's the same old Patriots. It's great to get Drake May experience, but let's be honest, you need playmakers for Houston, legitimate contender, first win against the Patriots and in Foxborough ever.
Houston 5-1, but Joe, they hadn't really covered to start the year. They've covered in their last two wins. We'll go elsewhere around the week 6 NFL Sunday slate up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC. Joe, quickly as we touch on some of the quarterbacks that made their starting debuts or were back under center starting in a game for the first time this year. Drake May's final stat line, 20 of 33, 243 yards, 3 touchdowns, but 2 interceptions. He was also New England's leading rusher with 38 yards on the ground, albeit sacked 4 times. There were some glimmers of optimism, I would say, for Drake May and New England. But this is just a Patriots team that is kind of going to play out this season as we expected. They had the best price, or at least the shortest number, to have the worst record in the NFL this year. After a season opening upset in Cincinnati, they've lost 5 in a row. They're 1-5. What do you think the Patriots can expect out of May the rest of the way?
Well, again, you know, you want to get him ready for year two. If this is the quarterback of the future, you want him to develop. You, I want to see him actually be able to read coverage. Wins or losses, to me, don't matter. Obviously, if you're in a position to win a game, you want to do that. I'm not suggesting tanking. What I'm saying is I need to see Drake May open up the offense, throw the kitchen sink at him in regards to formations and ability to read coverages, and then allow him to develop. If we're just going to put him under center to hand the football off and win 13-10, that's not why you drafted this guy, right? He's not going to get better that way. He's only going to get better by trial, you know, throwing him into the fire and throwing him into the mix. Forget the downside. He needs to develop, and that's a great opportunity to see what he has and then see where the weaknesses are ultimately for where they need to be in year number two. Jerod Mayo's not going anywhere, so build the players around them in the draft and in free agency next year.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. There was a thought, perhaps, that New England could stay in this game because of a rookie quarterback. They would run the football a ton. Drake May was the leading rusher. He had 38 yards. Antonio Gibson, 13 carries for 19 yards, just 1.5 yards per carry. Houston forced 4 turnovers, 2 Drake May picks, a Drake May fumble, and another fumble as well. Again, the Texans 5-1. Elsewhere in the AFC South, a divisional duel in Nashville. The Titans somehow, some way, were a home favorite. Joe Flacco and Indianapolis go into Tennessee and get a win, 20-17. Joe, we're talking new starting quarterbacks. We'll get to Spencer Rattler and in New Orleans. We'll get to Aiden O'Connell in Las Vegas. There's got to be a new starting quarterback soon in Tennessee. Will Levis, 95 yards for a touchdown and a pick. It's just simply not NFL caliber.
No, it's not. And we, again, you and I talked about this in the draft class. He should have never even been mentioned in regards to an elite quarterback. He goes second in the second round, has not lived up to the billing. He's a backup quarterback, in my opinion, at best. But where are they going? You know, they have a new coach. They have new talent. The offseason moves to let Derrick Henry walk to Baltimore, bring in Tony Pollard made absolutely no sense. And they have aging wide receivers in DeAndre Hopkins outside. Calvin Ridley had no catches yesterday. How do you do that? I don't understand. Like, this is the free agent pickup. You don't even try to get him the football. What is going on, Ben?
Yeah, I don't know. He had 8 targets, Joe, and 0 grabs yesterday. I don't even know how that's possible, how it makes sense offensively for the Titans. All I know is it is bad in Tennessee, a 1-4 start, a 1-5 start for Cleveland. However, the Browns did cover yesterday in Philadelphia as an 8.5-point dog, losing 20-16 against the Eagles. Joe, Philly won the game, right? And I guess if you're taking the optimistic viewpoint, they got healthy out of the bye week. Jalen Hurts, more than 250 and two touchdowns. Both of those touchdown tosses to the returning receivers and A.J. Brown, who had 116 yards and a score. Devontae Smith, 64 yards and a touchdown. But maybe the least optimistic winning football team in the NFL is Philadelphia, 3-2, and it saw its head coach Nick Sirianni jawing with fans in the closing minutes of the game. It's a weird sentiment around this Birds organization right now.
It is, and that's why I don't like Philadelphia big picture. And I've said this, you know, I love Jalen Hurts. I love A.J. Brown. I love Devontae Smith. But I was never a backer of how that defense has looked. Now, they held, a team in Cleveland to 16 points, a team that could barely put up 13 against Washington and some of the others. I don't even know if that's good, right? You know, Deshaun Watson had 88 passing yards basically through three quarters, and they still almost lost the game. This team consistently plays down to the level of competition. They don't have the killer instinct. They get both of their star playmakers back. This is a team that was their third straight road game, Ben. Third straight. Yeah. They had lost three straight. You're supposed to beat that team by double digits, and I mean bad. And they couldn't put them away. So, again, this is on Sirianni. This is on Kellen Moore. This is on Vic Fangio. This is on the coaching staff for not having that team ready and coming out of the bye week with the killer instinct. And it's unfortunate because I don't see this going any further. They're a one and done the way they play right now at 3-2 in the playoffs, if they get there.
Yeah, fourth best price to win the NFC at plus 750. Still the favorites to win the NFC East. But again, there's not a lot of hope right now. Philadelphia did score first, but they were held scoreless in the opening quarter. We were tied at 10-all at the break. This game was tied at 13-all under 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. That shouldn't happen. The Browns, though, man, bad. Four sacks allowed yesterday. They have given up 31. No other team has allowed more than 24 sacks this year. And Deshaun Watson, for a sixth consecutive game, under 200 yards. I don't know what Cleveland does. It's not this, clearly. Joe, the other new starting quarterbacks that made their debuts either in their career or this season out on the field in a starting role yesterday. What a wild game in New Orleans. The Buccaneers started out by scoring 17 unanswered in the first quarter. Then New Orleans responds. They win the second quarter 27-7 to take a three-point lead at the break. And then in the second half, it's all Tampa. The Buccaneers score all 27 points in the second half. The rookie running back tandem of Sean Tucker from Syracuse University and Bucky Irving take over the game. Baker throws three picks, but four touchdowns and well over 300 yards. And the rookie Spencer Rattler did show his lumps as the Buccaneers win big, 51-27, easily covering as a 3.5-point road favorite.
Are we sure this game wasn't played in Norman in the Big 12? It looked like Oklahoma and Texas Tech shooting it out back in the day. You know, they have a 17-0 lead. They fall behind. The Bucs do. They have a 27-24 deficit, and Baker Mayfield lights it up, right? You talked about Sean Tucker. The offensive line was playing at an elite level. Defense made adjustments. And again, I still think, you know, the hurricane could have affected the preparation from a mindset perspective.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know, they found a way to grind it out. And that they won dominant, right? That's the difference. If you want to take a look at two teams, look at Tampa, look at Philadelphia. Philadelphia at home, that game was a fourth quarter game with the game on the line and the Browns inside the 5-yard line with less than 3 minutes left. And on the flip side, Tampa goes on the road away from home, trailing by three and pulls away by 28 points. That's the difference between both teams right now. Todd Bowles, great job.
Yeah, listen, the Buccaneers, Joe, winning record right now. Crucial NFC South game after coughing up a good opportunity last week, short week Thursday in Atlanta. Buccaneers, huge day. Sean Tucker, 14 carries, 136 on the ground, a touchdown, 56 receiving yards, and another score. Come on,
where'd
it looks
he
like Kyle
from?
McCord out there for Syracuse University. So Spencer Rattler, Joe, in his debut, 243 yards, a touchdown, but two interceptions. We'll talk Aiden O'Connell, the Raiders, in the rest of the Sunday slate. Next, here on Football Full Circle, before we preview Monday Night Football and a big one at MetLife between the Jets and the Bills. It's next, live right here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Lisi guy Aiden O'Connell back under center for the Raiders yesterday. Did not matter. Pittsburgh goes into Vegas, wins big, 32-13. The Steelers cover as a 3.5-point road favorite. New starting quarterback in Las Vegas. Is there perhaps going to be a new starting quarterback in Pittsburgh moving forward? Well, on the ground yesterday, the Steelers very good against the Raiders. Najee Harris, 106 yards, a touchdown. Justin Fields, 59 rushing yards, two touchdowns, but he throws for less than 150. Now, the Steelers do win. They're off to a 4-2 start. They cover as a 3.5-point road favorite. Total of 36.5 does go over. Lisi guy, do you think Russell Wilson takes over the starting job anytime soon?
No, I'll keep banging this drum. This is the third road game that Justin Fields has won. And you could say from a productivity standpoint, he didn't throw for a lot of yards, but he rushes for two. That's part of the game as well. You're not getting that with Russell Wilson. You used to get that with Russell Wilson. You don't get that anymore. So people need to understand, hey, he's winning games. He's doing it at times with his arm. He's doing it with his legs on a consistent basis. He's avoiding the pass rush when the offensive line breaks down, and he's leading his team for wins, and he's won the locker room. What more do we want from this guy? I understand that he's not Jaden Daniels. I understand he's not Pat Mahomes that could just flick it, and I get that. But he's an above-average quarterback that is leading his team. He understands and is developing in the system. Part of that is Arthur Smith as well. You can't tell me that the way Arthur Smith calls a game has no impact on Justin Fields' productivity, because we saw that with Des Ridder and Atlanta last year. Look at the difference with Kirk Cousins and a staff that wants to open it up. And look at last year with Arthur Smith that couldn't even utilize Bijan Robinson correctly. Stop, Steelers fans. This is your quarterback.
Lisi, I think you froze. At least your visual froze. We'll get back to that in just a second. We heard your take. I would agree. I think Justin Fields should be the starter. We will see, though. Russell Wilson back at practice. I wonder what the ceiling is for this Steelers team. Elsewhere, Lisi guy, to round out the Sunday slate before we get to Monday, the Chargers off a bye week, a big win in Denver, 23-16, snapping a three-game win streak for the Broncos and covering as a 3-point road favorite. Scary moment early in the game as Jim Harbaugh was dealing with some heart issues on the sideline, but did come back. Nothing appears to be serious. Jim Harbaugh in good spirits as his LA team wins a big AFC West divisional duel to get back above 500. Now 3-2 for the Bolts, 23-16 the win, over 35.5 as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's great when your quarterback is back and healthy, and Justin Herbert, that's always an added dimension to that offense. And it's a gutty win. That was a team that I actually thought Denver would step up, playing at home, winning three straight, and how they won it with defense. But they grind out another victory. And again, I don't know big picture, Ben, if the Chargers are legit. But they're developing a new scheme, right? He's instilling an intensity and a tenacity that Brandon Staley didn't have in regards to the offense and defensive lines. I don't know if it'll happen big picture year one, but they're on that route. They're running the football consistently, playing better defense, and that's what Jim Harbaugh does. Again, good win, great, to cover the spread and get over the total. But again, I don't know if this is a legitimate wild card contender. I'm not buying in just yet.
Yeah, we'll see exactly, Joe, where this Chargers team is. But the Broncos fall back to an even 500. The Bolts a game above it. One of six teams right here, right now, with a winning record in the AFC. Who might join them based on this monumental Monday night at MetLife? With everything that has happened in the last 6 days for the New York Jets, it all comes to a head tonight. Robert Saleh dismissed on Tuesday. He was fired. Jeff Ulbrich named the interim head coach, the former defensive coordinator for New York. Nathaniel Hackett demoted. Todd Downing now calling plays, and all of the onus and pressure rides on the shoulders of a 40-year-old quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. Joe, this line has been working to the Jets' side of things. It is now just a 1.5 spread in favor of Buffalo. It was 2.5 in favor of the Bills early in the week. 41.5 is the total. Joe, I don't think it's overblown to call this one of the most meaningful Monday night football games we have seen in week six in the history of the NFL, or at least here as of late. With all of the focus on the Jets, does New York deliver a huge win tonight?
No, I think they get blown out. I really do. I think the Bills, and blown out is a double digit win, 10 or more in my opinion, right? When you're laying 2.5 on the road, if you win it, you know, five times by that, it's a blowout. And I think Josh Allen breaks out. I think he's got a low number, 198.5, 197.5. I think he throws for 250. I know there's limited weapons, but I would much rather bank on Josh Allen rebounding after two subpar games than seeing the aging quarterback that wants to take and point the fingers at everybody else but himself and this interim staff. With, you know, there's no way I could back that. So I do like the over. 40.5, 41.5. I think we get points because I think Josh Allen breaks out and forces Aaron Rodgers into an up-tempo type of game, and we'll see if they can do it.
You know what's really interesting, Joe? Total on the rise ever so slightly. Both teams under in 3 of 5 games so far this season. Buffalo has not looked great offensively the last 2 weeks. 20 points or less. Last week against the Texans, Josh Allen, 9 of 30. 9 of 30 for 131 yards. I will say this, though, Lisa guy. 197.5 is his passing yards prop. That's almost like a must bet because of just how low the number is for Josh Allen. Meanwhile, for Aaron Rodgers, 213 and a hook. If the Jets do not get blown out, Joe, how good does Aaron Rodgers have to be?
I think he's got to be 225, 240, no turnovers. He's got to protect the football, and that is the biggest aspect. Plus, they need to run it. They haven't run it in two games.
No, they have not. Less than 2.8 yards per carry in their last two. Not more than 64 yards on the ground in these two consecutive losses. It is a huge Monday night football game at MetLife. It was a significant Saturday in college football. The recap and review up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
What a weekend it was in college football as we built the hype and the optimism for a huge Saturday in week number 7. It once again delivers. We start with the game of the year number 2. The first game of the year, the final Saturday in September in Tuscaloosa. Top 5 tilt between Georgia and Alabama. It came through. Saturday night inside Autzen Stadium, it was 2 versus 3, Ohio State and Oregon, and it delivered once again as well. The Ducks win 32-31 as it came down to the closing seconds. Joe, after a great night, frankly, in Eugene, the final 6 seconds is what most people will remember for Will Howard's performance against Oregon. As the time was running down, he takes off to run in slides after the clock hit zeros. Time ran out, and Ohio State's hope of a comeback also ran out with it. 32-31, Oregon wins outright as a field goal dog at home.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at that game play out, people were didn't think that Oregon could put up 32 points on that Ohio State defense, right? That was the one thing we talked about in the pregame, only allowing 6.8 points per game, less than 3 yards per carry, less than 70 rushing yards per game. The back end only giving up 125 passing yards, but they never saw a quarterback like Dillon Gabriel, right? We talked about his big game experience. He throws for 300. How about the touchdown run on the tuck? How about that? That just allowed the Ducks to take the fourth quarter lead. That was the biggest thing. And Dan Lanning had a defensive game plan that bent. They didn't break in the final seconds. Right. And ultimately, that's why they won a great football game all around. But credit great Dan Lanning and that staff. I mean, they did have different wrinkles that we didn't see through the first couple of weeks of the regular season.
Yeah, Joe, you know, I was questioning that Oregon front. I actually didn't think Ohio State ran it as well offensively as I anticipated. The Ducks holding the Buckeyes to only 4.3 yards per carry. Huge win for Oregon. Now Oregon and Ohio State, Big Ten co-favorites to win a conference crown. But, Lisey, that wasn't the only generational type game that we saw on Saturday. We saw three games go to overtime. Penn State and USC in the Coliseum. The Nittany Lions win 33-30. Tennessee and Florida on Rocky Top. The Volunteers pull away 23-17. And how about the top 15 tilt in Death Valley? Night games in Tiger Stadium, they always match the occasion. Garrett Nussmeier, after a poor night, frankly, finds Kyren Lacy to walk it off for the Bayou Bengals, 29-26. LSU remains perfect in night games at home under Brian Kelly with a huge outright win as a 3.5-point underdog against Ole Miss.
And let me tell you, all three of those games were amazing. The biggest takeaway, all the dogs covered those games, yeah, right? The only one that won outright was, in fact, LSU as a home dog. And Ole Miss hasn't defeated LSU in Baton Rouge since 2008. But I'll say this, Ben, you know, as good maybe as Nussmeier was, and he was a little turnover prone in regards to the early part of that game, that defense, we talked about it with Blake Baker, they are coming on. They are flying to the football, even without Harold Perkins. Quarterback pressures, quarterback sacks, takeaways. Keep an eye out for this defense, because I'm telling you now, from what I saw, they are a legit SEC contender, and more importantly, a college football playoff contender. We should have jumped on that 250 on college football today. We really should have.
Yeah, because... yeah, I mean, listen, Joe, it's not a bad idea, because now the number for LSU to make the college football playoff plus 150 down by a buck. Only one loss for the Bayou Bengals. Still a pretty promising season ahead in Baton Rouge. Joe, how about a couple of teams that survived on Saturday, namely Alabama? How would they show the resolve against South Carolina? They barely did. Nick Harbor, a touchdown catch from Lenora Sellers in the final 2 minutes, almost tied the game. South Carolina tries to go for two. They are unable to convert, but an onside kick gives the Gamecocks life before a game-tying field goal misses wide right. Alabama survives, but comes nowhere close to covering, winning 27-25 against the Gamecocks, who do cover as a 3-touchdown dog.
Yeah, I mean, the lack of defensive consistency, biggest thing from Nick Saban and Kalen DeBoer. That was a South Carolina offense that put up 3 points against Ole Miss last week, and they pushed Bama to the limit in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it was an interesting game, to say the least. A huge Saturday ahead in the SEC. Alabama and Tennessee, Georgia and Texas, both winning this past Saturday as well. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.